right, so what color Justin Fields jersey did you get?
I got the home, and as soon as I get this next check, I'm getting the away and the in the.
Oh, sorry, you're buying three Justin Fields jerseys?
Nigga, I waited forever for a franchise quarterback. I'm finna fucking... And I'm getting me some matching shoes to go with the orange ones. You know, the orange one don't really match with a lot of shit.
Okay, now you sound like an old head on 79th and Jeffrey. Like, yeah, I got the Justin Fields and the matching orange shoes.
I'm finna be like them old niggas outside of Roscoe's who still wear Magic Johnson jersey. I'm definitely finna be like them niggas. I've waited a long time.
It's felt like a whole new day. It really has, being a Bears fan, not having to worry about, oh my, how are we gonna do this season with Andy Dalton as our quarterback?
Bruh. We just got done recording 7-9 the Hallows, and I was like, dog, it's crazy how one draft can change everything. I was not excited to cover the Bears this season. I was like,
When the draft started, I'm like, well, all right, well, let's hopefully get a Christian Darrisaw or Kadarius Toney, somebody that can just be a piece to the puzzle. And then God has smiled on me. Yes, he has. I treat Justin Fields like fucking when Cinderella ran into her Prince Charming. That's my Prince Charming. I love that man.
I feel like you know what I said in the article I put on Slick like a week or two ago. Like, he's the prince that was promised, bro. He's the prince that was promised. He's Jon Snow. That's exactly what Justin Fields is.
Brings just a tear to my eye, man. He really does. This is the 40-40 Club. Yes, sometimes we talk about other shit than baseball, like we will very, very soon. But I am Pierce, at Cameron Santo on Twitter. Scott, at Barb Chair Scott.
Yes, you know, sir.
This podcast, I've already titled it, What's Beef? Because we going to be yelling at each other in about 10, 15 minutes. We're going to be yelling at each other about 10, 15 minutes because I guess the Cubs have a 2-0 lead on the suck-ass Tigers right now, which is expected. And then the best team in baseball kicks off against the Royals in, what, like 3 hours? Yes. So we'll see who's pitching for the White Sox today?
Carlos Rodon.
Oh, of course. That's a W. They're facing Mike Minor, so that's a fucking W. Anytime, like, if you have not picked up on this, and it's been 2 years, so you probably should have, the White Sox are really good against left-handed pitching.
Yeah, that's a stat that I'm tired of hearing about.
But it's true.
But it's facts.
But I'm tired of hearing about the stat. Whenever they face left-handed pitching, you know we what I do? I don't bet the White Sox on the money line. I bet the White Sox on the run line. Because this is a very good chance that the White Sox are going to win by 5.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about the White Sox and the sorry-ass fan base in a hot second. I would much rather start off with some really nice beef, some fun beef, some gentle beef before we get into the vitriol and the anger. You know, I do this thing where I talk to older women because, you know, it's my thing.
They have good conversation.
They have good conversation, man, and they not annoying as fuck like a lot of the other women I date. But, you know, I woman I talk to is an older woman, you know, 90s. So she's all up in the boy band, the pop craze. And I got into a real deep, but not even just boy band, because I went and listened to fucking Britney and Christina afterwards. But you'll find this really funny, dog. Back in 2000, I did a summer camp at O'Halloran Park. It's at 83rd and Wood. And the summer talent show, I did the dance number to NSYNC's "Is Gonna Be Me." My brother, my sister, both like older as hell at the time, so they had all the CDs, and like they worked with my little 8-year-old ass to get all the dance steps. So I was literally standing like in my fucking living room yesterday, spent like 30 minutes doing cardio trying to do the dance moves to NSYNC's "Is Done." I almost got it too. I just got two left feet.
Glad, not to cut you off, I'm just glad we're in a space where black people can finally admit that we were listening to Backstreet Boys. And,
yeah.
Because remember, it was a time where you couldn't admit that shit, bro. you could not admit you was listening to these motherfuckers.
Okay, so I was 8 when like both Backstreet Boys and NSYNC was at their peak. So like I can't really recall, like, in second or third grade, if you said, oh, yeah, I listen to Backstreet Boys. And like,
wait, what year would you say that flood was? 2000?
2000.
Yeah, I was 12.
So, okay, so I don't know how, like, in fifth, sixth grade, like, if niggas
would stop
you
out. You couldn't have that shit playing in your CD player too loud. Niggas like, I don't hear no Jay-Z or no Eminem or DMX, all the niggas we was listening to at the time. I had to listen to that shit in the privacy of my house, bro. You really couldn't even listen to R&B, you get soft-ass nigga. You had to listen to
Tank, nigga?
Yeah. The fuck you over there listening to A-Marie for, nigga?
Fuck, you got the Donnell Jones, nigga, where I want to be. Where you here is now, man. Nigga.
Yeah, man, so I'm loving that I can admit that I've been listening to all this music forever.
I appreciate my sister so much because while my brother had all the R&B and the hip-hop tapes, so, you know, summer 2004 was really huge for me from that regard because that was 8-Ball MJG, Terror Squad had a little thing or whatever. I'm blanking on some of the other tapes that was like summer 2004.
We had baseball breaking news.
What's going on?
Albert Pujols was signed with the Dodgers.
Wow. Okay. Yes. Okay. I would assume he would have gone back to the Cardinals, but a major league deal for the remainder of the season with the Dodgers. That is interesting. I don't see this is the thing. They already got a first baseman in Muncy. They're not doing DH this year. So like, what is Pujols really?
Where does he fit?
He's getting DFA'd at some point. I don't see him staying on for the rest of the season with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
But I do think that, and I was going to talk about this later, but before we get into the NSYNC Backstreet Boys hate, I guess we could, you know, pull the Dodgers up with this breaking news. They've been going through a lot of fucking injuries. They haven't had Cody Bellinger since the first week of the season. He's out with that fractured tibia, or I don't know if it's actual tibia, but it's a fracture in his leg. So he just started doing wind sprints to try to get himself back together. I think he's at 60%, but it's going to be a while. Mookie's not at 100%. He's playing like he's not at 100%. So the Dodgers are off injured, and they're missing some guys right now. I don't know if Pujols is like going to help bridge that gap until you get Cody Bellinger back.
Well, they did say he's signing for the rest of the season. I don't know if it's guaranteed, but they said he signed for the rest of the season.
Well, right, but will he be on the roster for the rest of the season is my question.
That's a good question.
They're going to, like, if Pujols ain't hitting, then it doesn't matter.
Which I don't expect him to be hitting.
But. Nah, like, he'll club you some homers. I think he had 5 already with the Angels. So he'll get you some home runs, but, like, he's not going to be a fixture on the Dodgers, especially at first base, because dude can't hustle down first no more.
Yeah, he's washed.
He's 41.
He had a long, long run, but he's washed.
He's one of these, after Barry Bonds and Ken Griffey Jr., he's probably got the third best swing that I've ever seen. I remember when, like, you know, you watching Disney Channel and, you know, you see, like, Randy Johnson trying to teach you how to throw a slider, or, you know, Albert Pujols would be on there and he would just teach you the fluidity of his swing. And it's just so, at his peak, it was so crisp. It was one of the most beautiful swings that I had ever seen. And it made me hate liking him as a Cardinal, because for so long, Wrigley Field was a house of horrors. Whenever Albert Pujols stepped in Wrigley Field, he would fuck the Cubs up. But he was such a good hitter. He's such a great hitter. Like, he's Hall of Fame. Like, no doubt.
Dallas.
No doubt. Like, does he have? He's got 3,000 hits. I want to say he's definitely got 3,000 hits. So 3,000 hits, 669. I want to say is what he's at right now on a home run scale. So he's definitely not going to get 700. But, like, okay, now you put him on the Dodgers. Like, if he does last, he's got a chance at another ring.
Yeah,
and that's number 3. So, but that's breaking news courtesy of the Bob Shit Network. I mean, by the time you listen to this, you are already knowing it, but. You should get an instant reaction to Albert Pujols signing with the LA Dodgers. Let's get back to the boy bands. Now, obviously, if you really don't pay attention to us, I will always die on the hill that NSYNC is the better of the two. I feel like NSYNC got the greater hits. They might not have more hits. They just got greater hits.
They don't have more hits. But
they got greater hits. But Backstreet Boys, all five of them niggas can sing.
And that's where I was gonna go.
See, like, you'll never hear me argue that, because I mean, like, yo, who the fuck is listening to NSYNC for Chris Kirkpatrick? Who's listening for Chip Skylark?
I didn't even know that nigga's name. The other BMX looking nigga.
BMX looking nigga. He kind of do look like an X Game ass nigga.
He look like an X Game mug, like
with the fucking he look like fucking Alien with the hair and shit. Like, nobody cares. Like, okay, we might care about him more than we care about Howie, because I mean, like, you've never met a Backstreet Boys fan who's like, oh yeah, I'm a big Howie. I listen for Howie. I love Howie. Don't give a fuck about Howie. Not a damn person cares about Howie. Yeah. If it was anybody in NSYNC, anybody in Backstreet Boys folks cared about, and this is with all due respect to Kevin, but like, Kevin was just a tall, lanky motherfucker. You either cared about three motherfuckers. You cared about Brian. You cared about Nick, because Nick was the young blonde motherfucker. Or if you were like me or Scott, who just love debauchery and people that just get themselves into wild shenanigans.
AJ the God.
You love AJ McLean.
I'm glad he's healthy now and sober.
Yeah, like, that's the main part. I'm very glad that he's sober, and I hope because he kept falling off for like years, decades. That nigga would be falling off.
If you watch the Backstreet Boys Behind the Music, you'll see that he was doing coke on the set of The Call. What you said is a Susio anthem.
It's a Susio summer anthem, man. It's
I want it that way. He was beyond stoned.
You kind of had, like, dog, do you, like, all the best parts of that video was when AJ was just doing the most.
Yeah.
It was the best part of the I Want It That Way video. No matter the distance, I want you to know. He had to be coked out of his mind on that set to get through that shit.
Yeah.
But, like, I do admit, and it takes a lot of pride for me to swallow and to say this, all the hits that NSYNC has, and they are plenty, they have never had a hit as good and as timeless as Backstreet's Back. Because that's just a song that, like, no matter when it comes on, where it comes on, like, nigga, you are bopping. Everybody, yeah. They killed that shit, man. Everybody.
Sorry, I zoned out. What'd you say?
Nah.
I'm trying to upload Saving at the House at the same time. Excuse to the people. But what were you saying?
Nah, I was saying, like, as many hits as NSYNC has, and they have plenty, they don't have a hit as timeless or as good as Backstreet's Back.
And Backstreet's not even in my top three.
It's not?
It's not. I like the slow shit, bro. I'm a R&B ass nigga. And that's why I like Backstreet Boys. Like, this is my problem. I'm not going to sit up here and act like I don't fuck with NSYNC. I fuck with NSYNC. I fucked with NSYNC. I bought the album and all that shit. I like R&B, nigga. Them motherfuckers have more soul to me, bro.
They did.
They got more 100%. Soul to me, bro.
That actually checks out, because, like, the reason I like NSYNC is because they had bops. Not because like they were crooning and shit on songs. Like the slow songs of NSYNC,
Gone. That's why it's my favorite.
Okay, but NSYNC joint. But Gone is a Justin Timberlake song.
Catalog is a Justin Timberlake song.
Okay, just because it's Justin Timberlake and the Pips don't mean that, like, it's Gone. Nobody else is featured on Gone. It's just Justin. It's Justin solo before he went solo.
Yeah, and that's why I like it.
That's why it's fucking phenomenal. I'll never rate it when it comes to NSYNC. I think I usually put it like fourth or something. But actually, I could tell. Okay, you got Show Me the Meaning of Being Lonely.
Backstreet is a whole group. All them niggas sing on the song.
All of them.
Like, there's songs where your boy Howie has a voice verse. You know what I'm saying? They don't ever give them other niggas verses. It's Justin and JC.
It really is only Justin, you know what I'm saying? And JC. Because, like,
Kevin... Kevin might get a bridge on this song. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got it. Brian, a.k.a. Kirk Cousins. He was washing niggas. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why.
Now, are you calling him Kirk Cousins because he looks like Kirk Cousins? Or you call him Kirk Cousins because he's the Kirk Cousins of the group?
Both. He looks like him, and also because he has MAGA ways. That's probably why they don't fuck with this nigga right now. They like, yeah, we're going to go on tour with this nigga, but we don't fuck with this nigga.
I didn't even know that he was MAGA, low key.
Well, I don't know. He was on that little site that Trump had.
Parler.
Yeah, Parler. Yeah, yeah. Oh. And then Kevin was like, I think that's Kevin's cousin. Was like, yeah. Yo, I ain't fuck with this nigga till he stopped doing that bullshit. But these niggas still going on tour together.
Okay, so all right, I'm gonna guess your top three since you said it's some slow shit. So show me the meaning of being lonely's on there.
It's not in my top three.
Okay. Shape of Your Heart's on there.
It's not in my top three.
Okay.
I'll give you a hint.
I mean, I want it that way is obvious.
Yeah, obvious. Two, okay. One of the remaining two are not a slow song.
The Call?
No.
Okay. Larger Than Life?
Yep. So you got two now.
Larger Than Life is a bop. Larger Than Life is, yeah. All right. So the other one is a slow song.
It's a slow joint, yeah.
Oh, fuck. What's that damn song? Quit Playing Games With My Heart?
Mm-mm.
Okay, I'm blanking on it.
All I Have to Give. It's my shit.
Respectable.
That's my shit. That's my shit right there. Now, I love all of them. Shape of My Heart is like my first nigga off the bench.
Looking back on the thing. They killed that shit.
That video. You watch that video and it takes you back to 2000. I was like, that was a good year.
Hell yeah.
That was a good year.
Now, did you fuck with Backstreet Boys when they came back and they started doing all the...
Incomplete is my underrated song
in the Backstreet Boys lexicon.
Incomplete is my shit. I even like the joint they put on their little Greatest Hits album, Drowning. That shit was hard too.
Drowning's really good. Like, Incomplete's definitely in my top five.
Yeah, another underrated AJ verse on Drowning.
Most definitely. But I mean, like, okay, somebody posed the question to me yesterday. Like, if I had to rank the NSYNC and Backstreet Boys, like, together, I had to put together, like, I had to draft them 1 through 10. But I'm not going to draft them 1 through 10. You get five. You get to pick five from both of them. And I feel like everyone comes up with the same. It's just the order in which you pick them. I did Justin, AJ, JC, Kevin, Justin, AJ, JC, Nick, Brian. No disrespect to Kevin.
I got Brian way higher on there. I got Brian way higher on there.
I don't hate that.
I got Brian. Brian's in my top three. I mean, I probably put JC number four, and I fuck with JC. But
JC had some singles, bro.
What song did he? I don't even remember.
He had "Burning Me Up With Your Love." He had some. He had something on the Drumline soundtrack that I'm just forgetting about.
You know what's my favorite? If you look at the NSYNC video for "Girlfriend," you knew Justin was like, "Oh, I'm so down with these niggas." Well, I got Timbaland and Pharrell now,
hell
bro.
Yeah,
I'm finna take off.
Timbaland, Pharrell, and Nelly.
I got this Fast and the Furious ass video in downtown LA, nigga. I'm finna be out of here.
And then he was the only one that was ever gonna be shit. Like, no disrespect to JC. JC was never as hot as Justin.
I'm gonna tell you what black people need to stop doing. Two things black people need to stop doing. One, stop acting like JC. Yeah, no, ain't in that. One, stop acting like you weren't listening to Eminem. That's the number one.
Thank you. Let's really stop doing that
right
shit.
Fucking now. Niggas. Oh, I ain't never hear Eminem in the hood. Nigga, lie.
Oh, Eminem was overrated. Bullshit.
That was the first time I heard Eminem was in the hood. Now, granted, I ain't been a fan of this music in over a decade, but you was listening to the first three albums.
Oh, no, we just listened to Eminem for the shock value because we were kids. Nah.
And another thing we got to stop doing is stop acting like you didn't like Justin Timberlake because of what happened to Janet Jackson. First of all, the Janet Jackson shit was 16 fucking years ago, and now y'all acting like it happened 2 weeks ago. Get the fuck out of here, okay? Yes, Montana was Wrangler Tunes. But everything up from 2020 Part
you mean
One,
Man in the Woods,
yeah, Montana, Man in the Woods, whatever, same shit. You know what I'm saying? Man in the Woods.
They really stopped. They really only stopped fucking with Justin when he started doing woodland jams. Like 2020 Experience, the first part, not the second part, because I don't really rate the second part. The first part was fire.
Yeah, I mean the part two didn't happen.
I don't acknowledge it.
It didn't happen.
When Future Sex Love songs drop, like, was probably the hottest album of the summer of 2006. Honestly. Sexy Back was as annoying as Sexy Back became.
I can't fucking stand Sexy
as
Back.
Because it's annoying as hell, but it was everywhere.
It was everywhere. It's definitely one of my top five songs I wish I would never hear for the rest of my life. And it's up there with Niggas in Paris and Swag Surf.
I was going to say, like, California Love was... No, you're not the hater of California Love.
That's Damien. But if I lived in California, I'd probably hate California Love. I think California Love to people who from California or lived here a long time is like how we feel about the I Don't Like Remix.
I feel that.
I can't stand the remix.
So is that why they love the California Love remix more than the original?
No, they love to live and die in L.A.
Okay.
So live and die in L.A. is what niggas fuck with more than California love. But yeah, that, and if I hear Dreams and Nightmares one more fucking time, I'm going to lose my fucking shit.
This is what you've been waiting for?
Yeah, so Sexy Back is definitely up there. But yeah, fucking Turn Back the Hands of Time. Nigga, there's so many fucking joints on that joint. But Justified is my favorite album. Yeah. I like Justin with Pharrell more than I like Justin with Timbaland.
Yeah, 100%.
Mirrors might be his best song ever, though. That's a beautiful song, bro.
It really is. Who did
Mirrors? It's a beautiful song. I think Timbaland did a Mirrors.
Timbaland did a gang of jams on that album, but did he do Mirrors? Mirrors is just beautiful.
It make you want to get married. There it is.
It really do. And I think
video is beautiful, too.
And I want to say the song right after, it was Timbaland. Yeah, it was Timbaland. The song right after Mirrors, Blue Ocean Floor, is just fucking...
Yeah.
Ready to get married? Nah. But yeah, no, Justified came out at the right time because Justin, that was his first solo album. He was kind of bridging out of everything. He had Pharrell doing like Senorita's. Senorita and Like I Love You are just two fucking timeless ass songs.
Yeah. Definitely, man.
So, anyway, that was our NSYNC and Backstreet Boys talk of the day. Again, I just want to reiterate, we want you guys to stop capping like you did not listen to pop music back in the day. It's okay to love...
We ain't got a lot. We adults now.
It's okay to love Britney Jean Spears in the year 2021. Okay? Like, it's okay to admit that even though I was a huge... Christina fan because I was big in the white Hispanics at the time. It's okay to admit, yo, Britney Jean Spears was my Alabaster Queen. Still is.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I didn't really listen to her. I didn't listen to her or
Christina.
Christina. I was really just in sync Backstreet Boys. I didn't listen to nobody else.
Well, let me tell you, I lived in Des Plaines.
Oh, well, that explains everything.
98, for 1 year. It was only for 1 year. 98, 99. But that was a pivotal year because that was when Britney first came out. That was right after the first Backstreet Boys album going into the first NSYNC album. So I'm literally the black cop from Chappelle's Show. Man, I grew up in the suburbs. Literally can't help it.
Bro, I be singing Backstreet Boys more than that. Like it's Jodeci Fiend, nigga. Like I can... I can do both.
Alright, man. Let's talk about...
Let's get ready to rumble!
Ding, 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 ding. Alright, White Sox are best team in baseball right now.
I'm going to let you have the floor first.
So this is my thing. White Sox are the best team in baseball.
Okay.
It's amazed me how... With the deficiencies that they've had this season, not even just losing Eloy and then now
fucking defense.
Losing Luis Robert, the defensive mistakes, which who the fuck is teaching these niggas to field?
No, fuck that. Who is teaching Yoan Moncada? Get the fuck out the way.
Yeah, like, seriously. Jesus. Like, at least three times this week, he's almost fucked himself up or somebody else trying to catch a fly ball. And I need whoever's the fielding coordinator to step their fucking game up before you hurt them even more. Like, you already did a terrible job with Eloy. Work on Yoan, because what the fuck? It's not even just those deficiencies. It's not even just Tony La Russa-ing. How do you not understand the rules, dog?
I didn't think I'd get this far. I can't believe I'm a Tony La Russa defender. I didn't see this coming at all. Don't get me wrong. I think he's jagged three games, but... I blame majority of our early struggles on the actual niggas on the field than I do him.
And rightfully so. Some of them games they weren't hitting. The 1-0 loss against give Sonny Gray his credit. Sonny Gray shut the White Sox down. But you expect a team that good in a hitter's park like Great American Ballpark to not have that shit go scoreless into extra innings. So I give y'all that. But, you know, for a team that's... hasn't been slugging, and they're really not even slugging up to the potential yet.
Yeah, we ain't hitting no home runs yet either.
They're still one of the best on base percentage teams. They still, you know, hit for a good clip. They're phenomenal in situational hitting. The offense is what it's, you know, was designed, not necessarily designed to be, because it's designed to hit home runs, but it's doing everything else to max the fact that they're only getting home run production from one or two people. And then you add on the fact that even though the bullpen hasn't been locked down, I'm still worried Liam Hendricks is throwing so many fucking innings when he really doesn't have to. They need to get an eighth inning guy to so you don't have to turn to Liam Hendricks with five outs all the fucking
time. Aaron Bummer's been looking good his last couple. Aaron Bummer's getting back to form.
Well, I'm speaking specifically from a righty standpoint. I think the two lefties y'all got in your pen are quality. I've always been an Aaron Bummer guy.
Oh, you're talking
guy.
Like a right hand. Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
I've always been an Aaron Bummer guy. I think last year he was kind of up and down, but I've always been an Aaron Bummer guy. And then Crochet, when you can top 100, 101, he threw, I want to say it was a slider, but he made Nelson Cruz look fucking silly the other day. So, like, the lefties in the pen are fine, but they need a righty that they can turn to in the eighth inning. So, where you're not wasting Liam Hendricks 30 pitches and back-to-back days and shit like that. But when Lucas Giolito is when Keuchel and Giolito are your two worst starters.
And you're surviving?
Not even surviving. You're the best team in baseball.
Yeah. I don't like saying that too much because I don't want to – it's early. But currently, we are.
Okay, so you don't like saying that you're the best team in baseball, but your fan base is dick swinging like a motherfucker right now.
Okay, so
it's not adding up.
Here's the thing: I do not account for White Sox fans. I just want to put that out there. How many times have I come on this podcast and on my personal podcast and said White Sox Twitter was pussy? I'm so anti White Sox Twitter.
I'm thankful that you say that.
I'm so fucking anti White Sox.
I'm glad you said this. Shout out to the Hall of Famer.
My beef is the hypocrisy coming from Cubs fans. Like, this is the thing. Cubs fans and White Sox fans are the Spider-Man meme. I don't care about you. I don't care about you either. Both of these niggas care. We both care. Am I going to sit up here and act like I don't like talking shit about the Cubs? Nigga, I love it. It makes my teeth white.
I love talking shit about the White Sox. It's evident I love talking shit about the White Sox because when I posted after Luis Robert got hurt, which, by the way, I never laughed at Luis Robert getting hurt. I just laughed at the White Sox.
Having signed Brian Goodwin.
Yeah, having signed. Niggas were getting up over Brian Goodwin. It's Brian fucking Goodwin. He just got cut by the worst team in baseball. Yeah, Why are y'all going up over Brian Goodwin?
We haven't even had an update on him since he signed.
Has he played?
No, he hasn't even. I haven't seen a picture of this nigga.
Listen, they signed Brian Goodwin, and all of a sudden, Billy Hamilton can hit for the first time in his career. time in his career, Billy Hamilton is turning singles into triples.
How y'all like that White Sox depth?
Told y'all.
Fucking point down. Give a shit about depth, man.
Okay, this is the thing, man. Like, I enjoy laughing at the White Sox. I enjoy making fun of the White Sox. But you have never, ever heard me say that the White Sox were not a quality team, that the White Sox are not the best team in Chicago. It's clear what the White Sox are. And it's clear what the Cubs are. Like, just to check, they're 3-2 games. So, fuck them niggas. Cubs are who they are, okay? They're fucking the Tigers.
Oh,
they had a 2-0 lead. I don't know.
Who
or
are
care.
Also better than the Minnesota Twins?
God.
Them niggas gonna be sellers at the deadline.
Nelson Cruz watch has already started.
Yes, Nelson Cruz watch is 100% already started. They worse than Detroit, nigga. And they finna get swept by Oakland.
I mean, Oakland's good though. So like,
yeah, I mean, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it's gonna be even further.
Look at that. Nomar Mazara with the RBI double.
Nomar Mazara had a home run in his first game, and I was like, all right. I don't think he's had one since, but you know what I'm saying?
Honestly, I don't know how Nomar Mazara, because he's hitting 226. Why is Nomar Mazara hitting cleanup? That's ugly.
Nigga, that's a Ricky Renteria lineup, nigga.
It really is.
That is a Renteria lineup.
We talk
about
how Pujols is playing. The only reason Miguel Cabrera is still there is because he got like 2 more years on that contract.
Yeah, dog. Right.
That nigga's terrible.
But I just want Cub fans to admit that they care. That they stop acting like y'all.
Okay, admit that we care. Like, dog, I watch the White Sox every day.
That's fine.
Somebody said, "Oh no, you're a fan." I'm like,
that's
yeah.
Not you baseball, nigga. I watch a lot of Cub games.
Like, I like the like. I've never once said that I don't like the White Sox, the team. Like, they're fun, man. Like, they remind me so much of that Cubs team and the fact that they got so many likable players who just enjoy playing baseball. Yeah. When you got that, it's easy not to care about rivalry or whatever. Like, yeah, I like, you know, when White Sox fail because it's fun laughing at White Sox fans. But, like, I don't hate the team as much as I hate, say, the Green Bay Packers or the Cardinals. Or like, I hate the Knicks more than I hate the White Sox.
Yeah, my beef with the Cubs has always been the fan base. There's nobody on any Cubs team that has ever done anything to me personally. And honestly, outside of the fan base, it's not really a rivalry. It's a rivalry between the fans. I don't think the players really give a shit about Crosstown.
I don't think I've ever been to a Sox-Cubs game when a fight hasn't broken out.
That's because we hate each other. The fan bases can't stand each other.
We both find each other annoying as fuck for whatever fucking reason.
I think we find y'all annoying because
it's an elitist thing.
Yeah, y'all try to act all high and mighty like y'all the Yankees and we the Mets. Like, by fucking...
Dodgers, Angels.
I live in L.A. I know where I've seen... The White Sox got a bigger fan base than the Angels, bro.
They do, but that's the next best equivalent. I won't say Yankees-Mets because the Yankees are the fucking Yankees. Like,
But y'all niggas, with the last 6 years, y'all was talking like y'all the Yankees. That's why I was like the hypocrisy.
Okay, this is my thing, because Sox fans keep bringing up, oh, y'all thought y'all were going to be a dynasty. First off, do you think the White Sox have a potential to be a dynasty?
They have the potential, but it's baseball.
So negates that point. Secondly, what was the last actual dynasty in baseball?
Do you want to give it to? I can't even give it to the fucking Giants.
Exactly. Exactly. Last time we had a repeat,
it was the Yankees. Winner
was 21 years ago. Yeah. We haven't seen a repeat winner in baseball in 21 years. The last repeat winner in basketball was like a couple years ago with the Warriors. Last repeat winner in football should have been the Chiefs.
Sophomore high school.
Right, was the Patriots. It is a little bit harder, but like, you can understand it in baseball. Oh, sorry, football a little bit more. Baseball is so fucking hard to repeat.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm not one of the people. I feel like there's some Cub fans who feel like y'all underachieve. I'm not one of the people. Y'all went to, what, three straight NLCSs,
yeah.
And won a championship.
You.
Nigga, if the White Sox go to three straight ALCS and get a ship, mission accomplished. Mission accomplished.
You couldn't tell me when Theo signed about 10 years ago that we would be the three straight NLCSs. Like, that was a fucking pipe dream. The fact that I got three straight NLCSs, five playoff appearances in 6 years, three division titles, and a fucking championship after 108 years of ineptitude and y'all being just the sorriest sacks of shit. But I also think, like, okay, like, there's something to say, like, okay, maybe Cub fans did get a little bit bigwig. Because we finally hit.
But the I don't think y'all know how annoying y'all was for them 6 years. It was
I really don't.
It was terrible. And what made it worse
is were we more annoying than Dodger fans?
Nigga, way more annoying.
I don't believe that.
I live around Dodger fans, bro. I've been out here for majority of this Dave Roberts run at least. And Dodger fans are annoying. They're not Laker fan annoying. Laker fan is peak annoying because at least Dodger fans know the game of baseball. 85% of Laker fans don't know basketball. These niggas don't think the salary cap exists. So talking to them is like pointless. But Cub fans, and there's nothing wrong with, by the way, I'm not mad at y'all talking shit. Just, we're in the beginning of our talking shit phase. Like, I saw a tweet and this nigga blocked me. Who said that, oh, y'all better hope the White Sox win the championship where y'all be talking. Nigga, I have not seen fun baseball. I'm not even going to count 2008. I hated that 08 team. That one-dimensional-ass team. It was home run or bust. I couldn't stand watching the 08 team. I haven't had a good time watching the White Sox since 06. And I know we missed the playoffs that year because every other team in the division decided to show up. It was like 390-game winners, us, Cleveland, and Minnesota that year.
It was Detroit. Well, it was Detroit. Minnesota, but Detroit was the other team.
Yeah, okay, it wasn't Cleveland. It was Detroit and Minnesota. So I think on paper, talent-wise, that was a better team than 05. 05, we just hit at the right time. So I haven't had fun since I was in high school watching this team. Yeah, I'm going to talk my shit. And I'm not, now there's a lot of Sox fans out here who, majority of them are pussy. Even after the fucking Jose Abreu thing. Oh my God, it keeps happening to her. Like, nigga. I was like, at the worst, that's a light concussion, which he didn't have a concussion. He might be in a lineup tonight. I'm like, relax. And I told everybody, what have I said on this podcast?
Honestly, he ain't got to play until the road trip.
What's the point? They say he you can't keep that nigga on. He taking batting practice there already. That's why they haven't put out the lineup already.
Just start Andrew Vaughn at first. Andrew Vaughn needs more reps at first base and higher in the lineup.
My son is starting to look good, too. But my whole thing before we actually get into, you know, the actual baseball or whatever, I just want Cubs fans to understand that we're doing the same shit y'all niggas was doing. And yes, I was the hate nigga in the club talking about, y'all niggas ain't win to the Mets. Could completely ignoring the fact that y'all had a great year anyway because nobody even had y'all in the NLCS. Not I was the hating nigga outside the club. And yes, I was hating because my team ain't had nothing going on. We inside the club now, so don't get mad that y'all outside the club now.
It's not a mad thing. I just want the White Sox to, like, White Sox fans. Guys are dick swinging, but it's very unearned. Like, for me, you got to win a playoff series before you guys swing a dick on.
Y'all
was
dick
this.
Swinging in 2015 before y'all beat the Cardinals. Let's stop.
Before we beat the hell no, because it was the Cardinals. They lost that first game.
I said before y'all beat the Cardinals. Y'all was talking
shit. No, that's what I'm talking about. Before, we beat the fuck out of the Pirates, but like, cool. It's the Pirates. Going into that Cardinals season, I was scared as hell because I was a 100-win team. The pitching staff was excellent and on point that year. Hayward had a great year. Carpenter obviously just carves up when he's hitting. So, like, I was a little bit worried. It was after the Cardinals series that I started to dick swing because by that point, you don't won two series. Winning one playoff game is like, okay, well, y'all got to do a lot more than A, getting to the playoffs, and then B, being the best team in baseball in May. Like, that's kind of where I get stuck on. It's like, yo, bro, it's May.
Okay, yeah, you might have not been talking shit before you beat the Cardinals. Your fan base 100% was. The whole fucking year, bro. I remember. I
don't know about the whole year because they really didn't catch fire until August.
Yes.
I remember the exact...
Probably like July.
I remember the exact moment when I said, oh, this Cubs team is special. And I was walking through Midtown Manhattan. I was in town for SummerSlam weekend. And Cubs are playing Cleveland. Cleveland tied it up in the ninth inning. Game turns to the bottom of the ninth. Chris Bryant goes opposite field. Cubs win. And I'm like, okay, this is special. This is more than just a, hey, we might compete, fight, try to get into the playoffs. It was like, okay, they can get to the wild card game. Maybe if you match up against Pittsburgh, I trust them to beat Pittsburgh a lot more than I do against the Cardinals. So it was later on in the season where they actually started. I can't really attest to the rest of Cub fans because I feel like a lot of the way that Cub fans acted before the championship was half apprehension and half hope. Maybe the niggas was just very hopeful, but like I was always the biggest Cub pessimist.
I mean, I think that's a lot of White Sox fans too, but I'm also a guy, and it's just me. I'm of a belief that what happened before don't got shit to do with the team that was playing right now. Like, with this current Bears team coming, I'm not finna be, oh, I'm nervous because we didn't lose, because we lost with Jay Cutler.
Okay, but when you have Justin Fields, when you have the prince that was promised, it's a little bit easier to kind of, you know, hey, even if the dude that hates his family stays in Green Bay, I think we can beat the Packers. It's blind.
Which I'm 50-50 on too. I said this on 79th Hallows Day. I think he's gonna stay too because I don't think the Packers are gonna give him a choice. I think they're gonna like, all right, nigga, retire.
And I actually think that that's smart because they'll get all that money back.
Yeah, right. That too.
I think that's a little bit more, you know, a better than trading him and having to eat that money and hey, we got draft picks.
But I'm gonna give you two reasons why White Sox fans are dick swinging right now before we can move on to another topic. One reason you stated earlier, we're doing all this without our superstars, without Eloy and fucking Luis Robert. And by the way, I have more faith in Eloy come back. I'm very 50-50 on Luis because he plays center field.
You're also doing this with Carlos Rodon playing out of his fucking mind.
Out of his mind. And by the way, I don't expect him to be like this the whole year.
Well, I was going to say, I don't expect him to be back because he's going to get a really good deal with some team.
Yeah, and we got Kopech coming.
Right, yeah, you guys are fine. You're not gonna need Rodon. Which by the way, they're playing Kopech perfectly.
Yes.
Like you don't like I said a couple weeks ago, man, you don't need him to be in the starting rotation. Like he ain't gotta be in the starting rotation. Maybe in the playoffs, when you get to the playoffs, he can rise up in that. But like still he's perfect in long relief in that standpoint. The times that he has started, which is mainly in the double headers, he's killed. And like he's got the potential to be a top line starter. He's got the potential to be the best pitcher they got on that rotation.
Michael Kopech got $300 million on.
And you said that, and I'm like, I don't know about all that, but you know.
He got $300 million on, bro. I'm just gonna say, I've been saying that.
$250 million.
Look in that range. He's got a who's the highest paid?
I think the only pitcher to ever get $300 million is Gerrit Cole.
Gerrit Cole. How much is DeGrom getting paid?
Jacob DeGrom, and that's funny I was looking at his contract a couple of weeks ago, because I think he has an out coming up in a couple of weeks, but he took an extension of 5 years, $137.5 million back in 2019.
Yeah, so it's those reasons, and also for the fact that we're finally playing like how I expected us to play. Yes, it's May. There's so much baseball left. They're going to have another streak where they look like shit. It's just going to happen. It's baseball. The fucking Dodgers came out kicking everybody ass. They're like world beaters. Now these niggas playing 500 baseball. That's just how baseball finds a way to humble you. So there's going to be another streak coming up, which is why I'm glad that we've put Minnesota in the fucking rear view.
That was an important series to see the Twins, because now like there's no way the Twins are coming back.
They're not coming back, bro. It's just no – it would take – I just don't see it. And Kansas City, they're back to being Kansas City like I thought they was. And I think Cleveland will be competitive – for a little bit.
Cleveland's going to fall like 4 games behind at the end of the season.
Yeah, at the end of, yeah, they're going to, I think this is the White Sox, I see no reason why the White Sox didn't win this division. I think Cleveland will be around, but like you said, White Sox probably win this division by 4 or 5 games. And then you've got the situation of when I think Eloy will be back in August. I'm not 50-50 on Luis, like I said. I need that hip to be 100% healthy if he's going to be playing center field. So that's why I'm, so really, I'm just enjoying playing baseball. I'm not playing baseball, watching this fun baseball. I look forward to watching these dudes every fucking day, to the point where I'm going to have the NBA playoffs on my small TV when the playoffs start next week. Because I just love watching this team. So I just want and I love the beef between White Sox and Cubs fans. I'm not asking for us to be nice with each other. No, fuck that. Let's keep the rivalry alive. But Cubs fans, just don't be hypocrites. I saw a lot of hypocrisy, and I just want to get that out there.
I just want Sox fans to stop believing that we are mad. We're not mad. We enjoy the fact that Lil Brother can finally have an opportunity in the sun. It's just, act like you, this is my thing, act like you've been there. Even though you haven't, you don't know how to act.
If you want to look at winning-wise, we probably the worst team in Chicago, history-wise.
And that's saying a lot, because the Blackhawks were fucking awful for a good 40, 50, 45 years.
And, so. Yeah, then they became a dynasty. So
yeah. So, but it's also like this. Like when I said, man, and by the way, I needed Dylan Cease to have the extra start before I started believing in him. Now I'm believing in him.
Yeah, I'm slowly starting to believe in him. I'm still gonna stay on his ass.
This is the thing. He gave up them 3 runs to the Twins early, and he could have easily faulted off, but he stayed with it. He was steady. He pitched a good 5 innings. So that gave me a lot more faith in Dylan Cease being a better pitcher than him going out and shutting down the Reds. And when I said that, oh, y'all think Dylan Cease is a good pitcher, now he shut down the Reds, Sox fans attacked me. Oh, how could you talk about the Cincinnati Reds like that? They lead the league in runs per game. I'm sitting there like, those empty ass.
At the time, they did.
But it was still empty as hell, because those numbers are skewered by the fact that they play well at home in a hitter's ballpark. They go on the road and them niggas are trash. The only, in respect to Nick Castellanos, Castellanos is like average on the road. He just destroys baseballs in Great American Ballpark. But the only dude on Cincinnati that is good both at home and on the road right now is Jesse Winker. Jesse Winker's hitting fucking 364. I ain't gonna go down the list of like the home road splits because we ain't got the time for that, but I'm looking at the home road splits. Joey Votto on the road, garbage. Eugenio Suarez on the road, garbage. Nick Senzel on the road, garbage. Tyler Naquin on the road,
But to go back to that, yes, we understand the road numbers, but at numbers, them niggas was hitting. At home, they was hitting, and we were playing them at home.
Yeah, y'all got them good at
home. And then also, and it's not even more about, it's even less about the Reds, more about Dylan Cease. Dylan Cease has always had good stuff. He just had terrible fucking command. So that's, to me, to see him do that was impressive.
The thing I want to harp on is like, Sox fans attacked me because they thought I was saying that Dylan Cease is not that good. But in reality, I'm trying to tell y'all, the Cincinnati Reds are not that good of an offense. Because I saw somebody say that the Reds were world beaters, and I'm like, whoa.
Okay, yeah, I didn't see that tweet.
Pump the brakes. Let's not give the Reds more credit than they deserve.
Are you finally ready to admit that Lance Lynn is pitching like how he's been pitching the last 2-3
years? Yeah, Lance Lynn's been great.
Okay.
Lance Lynn's been pretty fucking good. If I had to go down the line 1-5 of White Sox starters,
he's number 2 right now.
Rodon, Lynn, Cease, Giolito, Keuchel. Keuchel signed a 3-year deal, right?
Yeah, he got one more year with us. Oh, God, he's not coming back. It's them back spasms. And I think Gio will get back. Like, honestly, if you look at Gio's game last night, it wasn't bad. Of course, it wasn't good. You can't have a good outing and you give up 5 runs.
I think those
were home runs. That might have something to do with it.
His everyday catcher is
Yasmani. Was James McCann. Right? Yeah, it's Yasmani now. But also, and this is my thing with him. If you can't be an ace, then you got to have specific catchers. Especially Yasmani Grandal is one of the best catchers in the league. If you can't get a game going on with him, then what the fuck are we talking about here? You know what I'm saying?
I feel like it's different for pitchers because, like, okay, Wilson Contreras was a decent pitcher, but whenever John Lester went out there, he wanted David Ross. It's just the familiarity that you got.
Who did he pitch to after Ross? Was it Wilson?
Yes. I can't tell you off the top of my head, but even like, you know, later on down the line, Yu's pitcher was Victor Caratini. That's why when Yu got traded to San Diego, Caratini was part of the deal because that's his everyday catcher. That's just who you're familiar with. So, you know, Lucas is working himself back from being the worst pitcher in baseball to now being an ace throwing a no hitter and shit. And now he loses his guy. It's just taking him a little bit of time to get with Yasmani. I think another issue is he's got to develop a strong third pitch.
He got to get more pitch. Thank you. Yes, he needs to get a third pitch, bro. Like, desperately. And then Lucas does this shit where, like, when he's having a bad game, he starts moping around like a little bitch. Like, it's all in his face. It's like, dude, man the fuck up, bro. Like, if you're having a good game, don't look like you out there having a bad game. We already know you are. You know what I'm saying? So I think he'll get it together. I think this bullpen will get it together. I would get a right arm at the deadline. I don't want to keep talking about the deadline early because we don't know what the needs are going to be in 2 months when July comes up. I would not be shocked if this team trades for Joey Gallo. I don't know. This smells like a White Sox
move. Aim high.
No, I didn't say that it was. I didn't say it was great. I didn't say it was great.
For me, if you're going to go after Joey Gallo, you got to make sure that you're not giving up too much for a dude that hits 215.
I mean, yeah, he hits home runs. I'm not giving up them niggas a lot for fucking Joey Gallo.
I like Joey Gallo. I think Joey Gallo hits 2 home runs. But if you're hoping that you're going to bring in Joey Gallo and he's going to have an offensive explosion, it's not going to happen.
No, I'm with you on that. I just give me something more than Adam Eaton.
Exactly. He's not back yet. He's still hurt.
No, he's been playing.
Oh, yeah.
He's hurt, but he's still playing. That's why he's been stinking, but... Yes. He almost had a home run. Yes, they barely missed it. But Andrew Vaughn, I'm loving what I'm seeing from the kid. It's especially for a guy who hasn't played anything more than double-A ball. I like what I'm seeing from him.
He's progressing over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Been playing solid in left field. For a nigga who's never played left field before, he's been good. And the power has been there. He had a massive home run last night. So yeah, I'm just excited to watch my boys, man. They're appointment TV. For the first time in God knows how long, they're appointment TV. Oh, what we got next?
Look at that, 4-3. I mean, we might as well talk about the Cubs. I mean, they're a 500 ball club, but like is there any more, any bigger sign that the Cubs are a 500 ball club that the Dodgers can come into town, and yeah, you know, woo-woo, the Dodgers aren't
as... And y'all smack them.
The Dodgers aren't as stout as they were the first couple weeks of the season, but you go up against all three of their aces. You smack Clayton Kershaw. You beat Trevor Bauer in extras, granted, and then you beat Walker Buehler in extras. There was some wonkiness in those two extra inning games where they should have lost both of them motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Thankfully, Kenley Jansen is Kenley Jansen. But like, I think that was the best sign of like, yo, the Cubs aren't good, but they're not bad either.
They're 500 team.
They're a 500 ball club.
But in the NL, I don't think that's going to cut it playoff wise. I think come deadline, there's going to be some decisions to make. And by the way, I see no reason why the Cubs just shouldn't pay all three of them niggas. Y'all got the fucking money. Do it. Especially Chris Bryant. Chris Bryant's on a fuck you tour right now.
Chris Bryant is definitely on a fuck you tour right now. He is making sure that he gets all of his motherfucking money. The thing is, I just don't. When you got Scott Boras as your client, you either make him the mega deal now or you trade him at the deadline.
Yeah.
And somebody threw out, I forgot who it was, but it was an older writer, like Mark Potash or somebody. Who was like, yeah, you know, the dream deal for the Cubs if they trade Chris Bryant at the end of June, beginning of July, and for low level A prospects. I'm like, how the fuck is that the dream scenario? Yeah. Like, where the fuck are you sleeping? But yeah, you know, logically the Cubs should just pay all of them at this point. It's probably not going to happen that way. Just because, like, Rizzo doesn't want to have talks until the end of the season. Although
he's pulling a pool host.
I think it's zero chance that he gets traded, though.
Yeah, I think if there's anybody who's guaranteed to stay, I think it's Rizzo. He's the new Mr. Cub.
Yeah, Javi, and Javi was struggling very much at the beginning of the season. His on base percentage still isn't there, but Javi's been putting together a very solid season. He's one of the league leaders in RBIs. He's slugging his ass off. Javi's still in, you know, the errors. I'm not really too much worried about him having so many errors. He probably is just, you know, going through some motions in his head about the contract year. As long as he keeps slugging, I'm fine whatever the fuck he's doing. Even Jock is hitting much better. Jock's hitting .274 now.
Yeah, he can't. He's coming around. I knew he was going to come around, man. He just got to get adjusted.
Yeah, he went on a DL for a little bit, had to come back in the last 15. He's hitting .358, .435, and .453. So he still needs to, you know, get some power in his bat, but Jock's starting to come around. They've even found dudes like Matt Duffy who are just doing really good situational hitting, but they're just a 500 ball club. Like, they are who they are. They're not going to be a team that, like, come August and September, you're looking at it as like, okay, where are the Cubs' road to the playoffs? Like, yo, the Cubs could, the right now, they're four games behind St. Louis, but the Cubs could be a game out of the division. I still wouldn't really be giving too much of a fuck about whether they're a playoff team or not.
Right.
I just don't see it. But I would say this. A very underrated dude on the Cubs right now is Adbert Alzolay. Adbert Alzolay is I forgot the stat that it was his walks and hits per inning. This is currently .88. That's a Cy Young level number. Like that's a number that dudes like DeGrom and Corey Kluber in his peak are hitting when it comes to walks, hits, walks minus hits plus inning per inning. So once he starts to, you know, get some luck under him and starts to win more games, I think we're going to be looking at Albert Alzolay as a future top line starter for the Cubs. But he's been performing like a motherfucker, so I just want to throw him out there. Jake had a really good start yesterday against Detroit, his first start back from injury reserve. Not going to talk about him being an anti-vaxxer because it's something we already knew.
I mean, it's on brand.
It's very much on brand.
It's on brand. All lives every other.
Very much on brand. I don't know what, I mean, I feel like we know what the fuck is wrong with Kyle Hendricks. He throws 87, but it's not even like it's not even like opposing teams are hitting him hard. Because the start last week against Pittsburgh was getting a lot of soft contact and it was a lot of bad luck early on. But it's just like, okay, do I expect Kyle Hendricks to finesse his way back down to like a 4.0 ERA? I don't. When you're throwing fucking 87 and your velocity is continuing to go down, it ain't good. So Hendricks is shit. But two dudes I'm going to be looking at, like, okay, if the Cubs start falling off and you start trading away pieces, look for Andrew Chafin and especially Craig Kimbrell. Kimbrell's found himself again, man.
Yeah, he looks good out there.
Kimbrell looks fucking great. I think the only hiccup he's had on this season was the blown save to the Dodgers where Muncy took him deep. He's been excellent this season, which is a far cry from what the fuck he was doing in 2019, because, God, he was fucking terrible in 2019. So, yeah, Cubs are 500 ball club. I ain't really too much worried about their trajectory for this season. Hopefully they can figure out the contracts with the top three.
That's the big story. Yeah.
I'm settled in my usual Cubs pessimism when it's in that regard, though. All right, let's talk about the New York Yankees. Last time we met, we were wondering if the Yankees were completely broken and had fallen off the table. Now, New York Yankees are two games out of first place behind the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah. I mean, they're hidden. I still think their main problem is what I said was going to be the problem all season, is their starting rotation is Gerrit Cole and the Pips. To me, that was their biggest issue. When does Severino come back?
That is a very, very good question. When is Luis Severino coming back?
Like, they got a solid bullpen. Chapman still.
He threw a day ago. He threw first live BP since he had Tommy John. So okay. Sometime around midseason, he's expected around back.
July, August.
Yeah, sometime around midseason, and even then, they're gonna.
He's not gonna be back. Full. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But Kluber's been decent. Kluber's got a 3.48 ERA. He's got 41 strikeouts on the season. He's been decent. That's kind of all I really expected Corey Kluber to be. 10 strikeouts against Detroit and then 6 in both of his last two starts against Washington and Baltimore. So he's been okay. As long as he can go give you 5-6 innings a game, you know, he's not giving up a ton of runs, that's fine. Joy Montgomery, who I'm high on, has been pretty decent this season. So, yeah, okay, pitching might be a problem. I think, you know, you need dudes like Gary to really start hitting. And I think, you know.
I feel like we've been saying about that about Gary the last year.
I think they've completely soured on Gary, and he's going to be traded to the Mexican League very soon.
Yeah, we've been saying that about him for a minute now, Doug. Like, it's like, put up a shut up time. We get 2017, 2018 L. Gary back, dog. What's going on here? But the good thing for them, Michael Stanton is back hitting.
Playing like a fucking MVP.
Michael Stanton is back hitting. That is important for the Yankees. My question is, do you believe, now you said before the season started on our preview pod that you felt like the Red Sox were going to be decent. Do you believe they're as good as they've been playing, or you think they're going to come back to earth?
That's a really good question because they don't even have Chris Sale yet.
Right.
So once they get their ace back, but like offensively, they're really good. Offensively, they're a really good ball club. When you got Xander Bogaerts and JD Martinez both hitting over 340.
Love Xander Bogaerts, most underrated guy in the league.
And JD found himself.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think the Red Sox will be able to keep up the offense as long as JD continues to hit well. I expect Xander to be a batting title contender. They're getting really good production from Alex Verdugo. Rafael Devers is a solid hitter. He's got an 887 OPS. I think the Red Sox are going to sustain.
Okay.
I think the Red Sox have a better chance of sustaining than Tampa Bay does.
I do too. 100% believe with that one. By the way, like I said, Pito is in the starting lineup tonight. I knew that was going to happen. You can't keep that guy down. But, yeah, man, Boston, I think it's going to be – I want Boston to be relevant because anytime we have Boston and Yankees relevant, I think it's good for baseball. So I hope they stay afloat. Like you said, I do think that Tampa's going to falter. Toronto can hit, but like you said, them niggas can't pitch. They can't pitch, bro. And I think that's going to be the big issue with them.
I'm just really glad that Vlad's putting it together.
Vlad's looking good. Springer looked good before he got hurt again. You know, he's been getting in and out of lineup. They got a real nice young offensive team. Once they actually get some fucking pitching over there, they're going to be a team to be reckoned
with. Once they got more than Hyunjin Yu, I didn't expect he was going to be this decent. Because, like, I was always like, okay, when he was on the Dodgers, I'm like.
Because he's nothing to run home about.
He was nothing to write home about on the Dodgers. And he goes to Toronto and he's fucking pitching ace level ball. So they got to get Robbie Ray to pitch more solid on a consistent basis. But yeah, batting-wise, Vlad's crushing it. And it's good to see Vlad not only, you know, hitting the ball, hitting home runs, but getting on base at a big clip. He's got a 1.006 OPS. So he's getting on base and slugging at a hot clip. It's just, you know, you got three other teams in the division who are better than you.
Yeah.
So it's going to be hard for Toronto, I think, to stay in that level. You know, you basically asking yourself to just keep beating up on Baltimore for the rest of the season. And the other four teams in your division are going to keep beating up on Baltimore, too.
That's where you pad your season at.
Then you get right game, you know?
You know what I'm saying? You beat the nigga you're supposed to beat, go 500 against good teams. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just thankful that we get to play the fucking Royals and the Tigers. And we might have to add the Twins to that list now.
Yeah, you said the Twins are worse than the Royals. Like, yeah, they got a worse record. But I'm looking at Detroit, like, minus 66 on the run differential.
Yeah.
Like, that's awful. Damn. I know their offense is terrible, but God damn it, that's awful. So, I don't necessarily know. Oh, yeah, no, my guy Shohei.
Yeah, that's my. Did you see that fucking.
How the fuck do you go opposite field one hand over the monster? Not into the seats, but he hit that motherfucker over the. I think he hit into, if not into the last row and then it bounced out, he hit it completely over the damn monster.
Yeah.
Like, he's starting to do some shit that's just flat out unreal and it's unbelievable. And I'm gonna need niggas to stop doing the Babe Ruth comparisons. He ain't Babe Ruth. He's better than Babe Ruth.
Oh, let's get into it.
He is better than that fat ass hot dog eating motherfucker. Okay? Babe Ruth stopped pitching after a while. Shohei is the only dude to gas somebody for 100. And then hit a home run with an exit velocity over 100 miles per hour. He's literally doing shit you've never seen on a baseball field before. And he's not doing it up against Dizzy Dean and fucking all these other weird ass names. Crack James and shit in fucking 1920s. Like, he's doing up against top level talent pitching wise. By the way, there was also a tweet a couple weeks ago that said that Shohei was the best player in baseball, even better than Mike Trout, and I need niggas to stop. Like, Shohei is amazing. Shohei is great. Shohei is damn near perfect. It's Mike Trout. And I feel like niggas now are doing things intentionally to disrespect Mike Trout, and it's ugly. Stop it.
That's because nobody gives a shit about Mike Trout. But you are right.
We got to.
I went to Angels Dodgers last Sunday in Anaheim, which such a long fucking drive. I mean, goddamn, it's so far from LA. Like, it shouldn't be called LA Angels Anaheim.
Them it should have never just, been called the LA Angels.
Right, them niggas are just Anaheim.
Just revert back to the California Angels. There was nothing wrong with the California Angels.
It's legit. Nah, it's not even LA County, bro. It's not even LA County, bro. But when I was there, number one, it was nothing but Dodger fans. I feel like I was at a fucking Dodger home.
You could hear it. You could hear it in the, you know, in the crowd that it was maybe 80% Dodger fans.
Yeah, it was disgusting. But they have two of the biggest draws in baseball, and they own that fucking team, and that's why nobody's gonna care.
Who is
that's
other?
Why nobody?
You saying nobody's gonna care because they're in
fucking Anaheim.
Oh yeah.
If they on any other big team, it'd be crazy. Not granted, Otani.
If Mike Trout was on the Yankees, Mike Trout would. I don't want to say the biggest superstar in sports, but he'd be damn near close.
It'd be up there, dog. I mean, look, Yankee fans treat Aaron Judge like he better than he is.
And Aaron Judge is a fucking monster.
Yeah.
So like, that's how I feel about like that. Like, we treat Mike Trout like he's Paul O'Neill.
Yep, 100%.
When he's fucking Willie Mays. And it's crazy how fucking good he is. He's slid over the last 15 games, so he's not hitting 400 anymore. But when he was just knocking the cover off the fucking baseball for the first month of the season, was ridiculous to watch how good Mike Trout is, but then also just like how much motherfuckers disrespect him. Like, he's not even 30 and he's already over 300 home runs.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be shocked if he doesn't hit 700. Knock on wood, because it's going to take a lot of injuries to stop Mike Trout from hitting 700. But I think Mike Trout's a lock to hit 700. He's that fucking good. And I don't mean to blow smoke up Mike Trout's ass, because the nigga comes home and he analyzes dew points and shit like that. But, like, we got to stop disrespecting Mike Trout as a nation. It's silly at this point. But yeah, Shohei, I don't think baseball's never seen a player like Shohei Ohtani. Somebody that can do it on both sides against elite talent. Like, I keep thinking about that home run at Fenway, and I'm like, that's supposed to be impossible.
Power home run, dog. That was
opposite real. Field. Like, that's supposed to be fucking impossible. And I think that was forgive me if I'm wrong, but like, that was a breaking ball.
Yeah.
That he knocked out on one hand. It was basically like, okay, is this going to be a home run into the first row of the monster or off the monster because it's so damn big? Or is this going to be like a bloop fly in the shallow left center? And he knocked that shit into the last
over
row.
That bitch.
Like, it's incredible how fucking good he is, man. He's so fucking nice. But yeah, if he wasn't pitching and hitting in fucking Anaheim, he would be what Hideo Nomo was, what Ichiro was, that kind of supernova.
If Shohei was a Cub, it'd be the most annoying coverage I've ever seen in my fucking life.
It would be Fukudome times 20.
Times a million. Like, oh my God.
Nick, we treated Fukudome like he was the best thing since sliced bread. And he was only good for a month.
Bruh, that's it. And this nigga is actually great, so. But yeah, man.
One team I do want to ask if you think they're going to keep it up, San Francisco Giants.
No.
You don't.
Quick answer to that one. Absolutely not.
is that because you believe in the other two teams in the division, or you just don't believe in the Giants?
I mean, I just don't believe in the Giants like that. I just don't believe in the Giants like that. But my bigger reason for that is the Dodgers and the Padres are eventually going to stop playing 500 baseball. Okay. Then it's going to be bye-bye for the rest of that division.
Okay. I do think we have to start giving some credit to Buster Posey being back. Because Buster Posey,
I'll definitely give credit to right I forgot now. Buster Posey was in the fucking league.
325, let me just do the actual split right now, so I got it. 365, 449, 682 is what Buster Posey is hitting right now. Buster Posey is playing like the fucking MVP of the National League right now.
Yeah.
And that's after he did, you saying like you forgot he was in the leagues because he didn't play last year. He took last year off because of the pandemic.
Because of the pandemic.
The pandemic. But I'm here and there on San Francisco because they're doing like a last dance kind of thing. Like Posey, Crawford, and Brandon Belt are all in the last year of his contract. I think this is last year Johnny Cueto's contract too. You know, they're in a weird space where they are rebuilding, but they got the veterans who were there for the championship years. And like when you got dudes that know when they get into prime positions, when it comes to winning time that they can win, it's kind of hard to sell, you know. So I think the Giants are going to be a team that we got to watch. They almost made the playoffs last year. They was almost that eighth seed. So it's going to be interesting to see how they continue to perform. You say they can't. I think they'll need guys like Gausman and DeScalfani to keep pitching the way that they're pitching right now.
Yeah.
If that can happen, if they can keep getting the pitching, I think Buster
gives them a shot.
I think Buster might cool a tad bit, but like they got a shot. I don't know if they got a shot to win a division.
No.
But they got a shot to crack that wild card game and possibly make some noise. I think it would be interesting to see the Giants just defy all logic and then sneak in there. Especially because some of the teams that we thought would be good, like, okay, the Mets are 3 games over .500 and they're tied with Philly with the best record in the East. But they're in a nasty division, but like they've underperformed. The Braves
have really underperformed.
What the fuck are the Braves doing? And they got possibly the MVP right now in the corner.
Yeah.
And they're not playing up to the level that they should be playing. Even Freddie Freeman is playing fucking garbage. Freddie Freeman's hitting .213 right now.
Ugh.
So, you know. I don't know if there was anything else on the rundown.
We can wrap this up. The Basketball Hall of Fame is about to come on, and I need to watch this.
Yeah, Basketball Hall of Fame is about to come on. We got to go cry to Kobe.
Yes.
I got to go figure out what strip property casino resort I'm going to go to later, drink my ass off, and then try to find my mid-30s to early-40s housewife who was very unfulfilled with her marriage.
You're in Vegas. You can find that very easily.
Found it out.
Very
let me if I speak. if I speak. I am at Cameron Santo. Scott's at Barbershare Scott.
Yes, sir.
At BarbershareNet on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook.com/BarbershareDigital. Patreon.com/BarbershareNetwork. You can listen to all the episodes of Summer, well, not all the episodes, the special episodes of Summer Sessions where they got, you know, they get, they just do, you said some wild shit the other day.
I probably did.
It was something about Whitney Houston meeting Paul Walker. And I'm just
because we were talking, Damian was talking about the the water skis. Yeah.
The water skis.
Hey, man, for the Patreon. I'll clean it up tomorrow on the free pod.
Yeah, you can listen to that. We got a brand new episode of WWE Top 25 also dropping, looking back at the month of April.
New 7-9 The Hallis out right now.
New 7-9 The Hallis out right now. When they talked about the prince that was promised. Also
prince
give,
was promised.
Also got to give Joe credit because he found a way to sneak in a Harold's Chicken question.
Yeah, he's putting Daz on the Harold's Chicken. So we talk about that.
I bet you Brad Biggs was fuming. Probably. On the inside.
Who let this Negro on here?
Fred Huebner. Why are they playing this Negro music at the Sox game?
I like how the Bears account at the press conference was like, this press conference made us hungry.
Like, we here now, niggas. We all here. Right. This has been 4040 Club. We'll be back in another 2 weeks. I'm pretty sure both me and Scott will be back to talk about some things on the Patreon for our respective shows, but we'll be back about another 2 weeks. Talk more baseball right here on the 4040 Club. We'll see you guys later.
Yes, sir.